Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
We are moving ever closer to the conclusion of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, but we're not there yet. Having examined the first four verses of this last chapter, which have to do with the collection for the saints in Jerusalem, we now come to a section that in my Bible is called Personal Plans. And it has to do with Paul and Timothy and Apollos and their workings together, their travels, their plans in the work of the gospel. And here we will learn that God's work is accomplished by ordinary people doing ordinary things for an extraordinary God. Ministry and travel plans for three gospel preachers. That might seem mundane, it might seem insignificant, but no, it's not. In the first place, we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And if God chose for this to be placed in the Scriptures that will be preserved and handed down to God's people for hundreds of years, then it's there for a reason, and it's there for a good reason. And therefore, it's our privilege to examine what to some people might seem to be a rather ordinary portion of the Bible and understand the reason why it is here. And so let's do that as we move first to Paul in verses 5 through 9 and then Timothy in verses 10 and 11 and finally Apollos in verse 12. I welcome you to this Friday, July 15 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your financial gifts in keeping us teaching God's Word on this station. 1 Corinthians 16:5, Paul says, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." All right, ministry plans. Paul is laying out his plans for ministry over the next several months. Paul, of course, is the Apostle Paul, the author of this 1 Corinthian epistle, a church planting ministry who had been used by God to plant the church in the city of Corinth. And these present plans that I just read for you in verses 5 through 9 cover approximately the next year of Paul's ministry. He talks about ministry in Macedonia, ministry in Corinth, and ministry in Ephesus, three different locations. Let's start with Macedonia, back to verse 5. "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia." What is Macedonia? Well, Macedonia was a Roman province in northern Greece. It is still known by that term today. And in that territory of Macedonia, the very first church was planted on European soil in the city of Philippi, And when Paul was removed from Philippi because of persecution, he went to Thessalonica and preached the gospel, and by the working of God's power planted a church there, and having been driven out there, he went to Berea and preached the gospel, and before he left Berea, he had planted a church there. It's quite an amazing thing, really. We read these things, and we sometimes don't really stop and think about what's taking place and how remarkable it is. If you have been involved in gospel work, if you've been involved in missions work, if you've been involved in any kind of church planting work in the United States or elsewhere, you know that under most circumstances, it takes years to plant one church. Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, planted three churches in the span of a few months in the territory of Macedonia. But it was Paul's custom, and you will know this if you study his movements very carefully in the book of Acts and also in his epistles, it was Paul's custom to travel back to the churches that had been planted for periodic checkups as he was able. And many times he wanted to go and was prohibited, but he recognized the need to return. It wasn't just enough to establish a church and then say, okay, job's done, move on to the next location and establish another church. Okay, job's done, move on to the next location, establish another church. No, Paul was under the impression, and I would say the correct impression, that a church established needed to be revisited, needed to be reviewed, needed to be reinforced, needed to have periodic checkups, and problems needed to be addressed, and weaknesses needed to be identified. And Paul would go back to these churches and check up on them. And that's what he's doing at this time in his life. This is his reason for planning to pass through, as he calls it here, Macedonia, which he's giving for his reason for a delay in visiting Corinth. He's going to be doing the same thing in Corinth, coming to Corinth to visit a church that had been established previously, but it needs reinforcement. And he's coming back, and he's told them that, but before he comes to Corinth, he has to pass through Macedonia. That's what he says, verse 5. Now, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And so first he announces his plans for ministry in Macedonia, and as I say, there are three known churches there. Is he going to all three of them? We don't know. Philippi, most likely, for certain, but I'm sure he will try to get to Thessalonica and Berea as well. And it's also possible that there were other churches that we are not aware of, either, well, none that I would think had been established by the Apostle Paul, but it is possible that there are other churches that had branched out from one of these three churches, and so there's a lot to check on. There's a lot to be involved in the territory of Macedonia in northern Greece. But he's also planning to come to Corinth, and so he says in verse 6, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go, for I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. So, in regard to Corinth, the church to whom he is writing this epistle, it is Paul's intention to come there. I will come to you, as it's put here. And he even gives some indication of the time that he's going to stay with you. In verse 6, I will stay with you, and he mentions spend the winter with you, so that's going to involve several months. But he says, I do not wish to see you now on the way. I'm going to Macedonia, yes, it would be possible for me to check in with you on the way there, but I'm not going to do that because my intentions are, after I have visited Macedonia, to come back for an extended stay with you, rather than just passing through and staying a week or two at the most, as I am headed for Macedonia. I would rather go directly to Macedonia without delay, and then come back to you when I have more time to spend with you, so I can be there for a matter of months rather than weeks with you. If, as Paul puts it in verse 7, the Lord permits, always. Paul's plans are always subject to God's plans. Paul makes his plans, but he doesn't chisel them in stone. They're not set in concrete. They are not unalterable. Why? Because Paul recognizes that he's not in charge. God is. This is not too dissimilar to what James says. Don't say, I am going to such and such a place, to such and such a town, such and such a city, and I'm going to do this and that. But rather say, if the Lord wills, I will go to such and such a city and do this and that. Don't announce any plans without recognizing that they are always subject to alteration by God Almighty. Now, there are some important lessons there for us, I hope you understand. Paul didn't make plans that he considered to be unalterable. Well, you say he was an apostle. Didn't he receive revelation from God? Yes, he did. Well, didn't he get revelation from God in regard to these plans? Evidently not. He didn't get revelation from God about everything. He did get revelation from God about some things, and that does distinguish him from us because he was an apostle, and as an apostle, he was also a prophet. Apostles, all the apostles were prophets, that is, they received divine revelation from God, which they proclaimed to God's people. So they were all prophets in that sense, that they were conduits for divine revelation. But there were other prophets who were not apostles, who were also spokesmen for God, conduits for divine revelation, but all the apostles fit into that category. But that doesn't mean that they had revelation from God about everything they did. Clearly they didn't, and this is a good indication of it here. 4, verse 7 again, I do not wish to see you on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. That would be my plan, that would be my desire, that's what I'm hoping to do, is the way he puts it here, not unlike the way we would sometimes talk, but always, if God wills. Lord willing, I'm going to do this. Lord willing, I'm going to do that. But whatever I plan must always be subjected to God's alteration, and if he does, that's fine. I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to get all out of joint and all discombobulated because my plans were not ratified by God. No, God's plans need to be ratified by me. And though God doesn't always tell me what his plans are, he's always free to change my plans to correspond with his plans. Agreed? Agreed. That's what Paul understood, and that's what we need to understand as well. We'll come back to this section, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.